1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And a good morning. Nice sunny day out there. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff, and today we're going to be talking with Congressman Mike Bost. Normally, Congressman, we talk to you on the third Friday of the month, but you were a little preoccupied at that particular time.
I actually was. I actually thought I was going to call you from there, and it got busier than what I realized. So last Thursday, we got done with session, and I got on a plane and flew to Laredo, Texas. The concerns we have down there are twofold. One, my job as the chairman of the VA committee, there's some special services that we are providing for our Border Patrol agents who are veterans. Basically, the VA center out of Laredo, I knew I needed to get down there to talk to them for the program that they're offering. There's like two different locations. Now, I understand when we talk about what's known as the Del Rio sector, that's not like, from here to Sparta, okay? It is from Murfreesboro to Sparta. It is probably the equivalent of better than half of, if you were watching a section of the Mississippi River from Cairo up to about Peoria or higher across Texas. So, any rate, Laredo is where the center for the veterans are located. That being said, they have two outposts at different in the Laredo sector, one at Eagle Pass, one at a VFW in Eagle Pass, and then a mobile unit that goes up and down the sector and route to deal with if somebody has different needs in the other small communities. And believe me, there's not a lot of communities, a lot of miles, but it's not a lot of communities. So we originally met with them to talk about what they have provided, what the services they've been rendering to, and how they're working with the Border Patrol to provide those services in a way that is appropriate through the VA, because the stress factor of doing the job of Border Patrol agent is as bad as most combat now. You see a tremendous amount of deaths. You're stressed away from your family. You're handling thousands of immigrants every day. And so from there, though, we went along with them, several of the people that worked at the Vet Center, so that we could go and do a round table. We traveled 2 hours away on still staying along the river and along the border, and then went to Eagle Pass where we saw the program in place. But we also did a roundtable discussion with the border agents, getting the numbers of what they're having and what they're dealing with right now. Normally at that border crossing at Eagle Pass and at the Del Rio section, facility. Okay. So basically all of the people that are brought in that are, coming here illegally, the ones that are caught, are processed through a process that they average 2,000 per day, 2,000 to 3,000 per day. Now, right now, while we were there, Jeff, this is really wild. Last few weeks, they've been running 300 to 600 a day. And my statement was, so it's slowing down. They go, no, they're just redirecting because the river's high. So this is all the questions that I was asking, and they were giving me the numbers of the gotaway. And we're talking 150 to 170,000 gotaways per month in this sector alone. Now, let me say that again. 150,000 to 170,000 gotaways, known gotaways. Now, known gotaways means that they saw them somewhere on camera, okay? So there's others that maybe didn't get on camera. But even that, with that, the amount they're bringing in, like I said, 2,000 to 3,000 a day, then they're processing them. But when I said, well, they're not crossing because of the river at all, and they go, no, they're redirecting. And then they have to ship their sources up to the places because someone will communicate. You know, they communicate with text, okay, the river's too high, we can send some over, but you know how this is. So they tell them to turn and redirect them and go back to the west rather than coming straight up through the border there at that sector, at the Del Rio sector. So when I say the processing plant, they had already, by the time I got, things were very calm by the time I got there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's how long it took to drive to it. But they had processed 600 immigrants in the morning and transferred out 400 of the 600 by that time. And when I say processed, when they come in, they get their IDs, they get them a wristband, they provide them with food and you know, make sure they check their medically and everything like that. They can be held. They get the information, then they divide them by, so if you're there's a lot of these that are unaccompanied minors, so 18 and under. If you're an unaccompanied minor male, you get put in one cube or block. I say that one. So there are blocks, and then each block has like 10 pods, and 10 pods may hold 60 people, 50 to 50 people, with pads to lay on. And they always put, so the majority of them are adult male between the ages of 18 and 40s. And then they are put in pods by them, but only them. And then the younger males, 18 and under, go in a different pod. Then same thing with females. And then there's family units. And there's all of this, and all this is processed and then redirected on where they have to send them, whether they fall under where they can send them back, which there are those based on the Title 42. But if once Title 40 or Title 12, what Title 12 goes away, you know, it is 42. What 42 goes away, which is a month or two from now, they don't know what they're going to do because there's no rule on how we can send them back when we're needed to send them back. Because what we can do now is if they're this whole list of things, we can send them back to Mexico, and then Mexico can decide to either send them back to their original country or keep them there. This is a large process. It's a dangerous process. It causes a tremendous amount of stress. We are understaffed as far as our Border Patrol agents. We went then, though, on down to the crossing area where the most of the crossing occurs, right there in El Paso, or in that particular sector right there in Eagle Pass. There are four crossings if you count the railroad trestle. There's a walk bridge, there is a auto bridge, and then there's a truck crossing bridge, all in that area. That town is about the size on the United States side, is about the same size as Mount Vernon. So there's those crossings. However, they don't come across those crossings because those are all border checkpoints. So what they do is they'll swim across the river or float across the river, and they'll do it in the evening and or early morning. And when you see the rafts and things that they're creating, and the trash that lines up along the edge of the river, one particular raft I noticed that had just been brought in earlier that morning is a group of bamboo strapped together and probably 50 empty but lid put back on 36 liter bottles, or you know, the ones like you pick up at the store. Mm-hmm. There are like 50 of those, and that's how they floated across this high. Right now normally that will get down, and that's going to be down in a couple of weeks. So they're going to go back to those numbers, and they know it. So they're calculating that. But right now normally it's 2 to 3 feet deep, and the current's bad, but people can wade across, and they're still getting drowned during that time because they don't understand the current and how fast it is, dropping children, losing the children, dropping themselves, getting washed downstream. But now it's four to six feet deep, and it is moving very, very fast, and they're pulling bodies out like everything. And when you look at the Eagle Pass, just about 200 yards off of the river, there is a long fence that covers almost the entire town on each side and everything outside, but it's got the openings in the gates because they never put the gates on it. And that is part of the fencing and wall that was put up by President Trump during his time. It's all there ready to be assembled further and completely. But because the governor was still having such a problem, if you look where we were at, there's containers, the shipping containers. Those shipping containers are end to end, all the way down along the edge of the river. And so when they first put them out there, the people would come across and then they'd climb over the shipping containers. But now they've got Constantine wire on top of the shipping containers. This is how crazy this is. The sad thing is that we as the United States and this administration knows what we can do to cure the problem. Meeting with these border agents, they said there's no incentive for them not to come. Before, there were incentives not to come. If you come, we will ship you back. If you come, we will prosecute you and then ship you back. If don't bother to come because we're going to have it blocked and you can't come in unless you have your proper papers and come here illegally. See, that's the way this should be done, not like this. So not only is it danger to we, the United States, because of the amount of fentanyl that's being pushed across, human trafficking, and the cartel being able to grow in power with dollars and just unbelievable what they can do. But then you don't look at the people that they're encouraging to come here. They're drowning. They're being murdered. They're being raped. They're being there is one issue after another. Just a week before I got there, the railroad trestle, the railroad, there was a tanker that they had in Mexico that they put a whole bunch of humans in, sealed it over in Mexico with the idea that when it got to the United States, they knew what it was. They'd unseal it and get them out of there. Well, the thing is, the train got delayed, the car got set off the side, so when it came to the United States, a bunch of them were dead inside the car. This is the craziness of all this, and it's so sad to watch. I mean, I understand people wanting to better their lives and they give a chance, but we've got to put a stop to this and make it to where people can immigrate to our nation legally. That's fine, but this is crazy.
Yeah, I agree. You're talking about all the people that's involved with this down there, too. I know the organization I signed up with last year, the Coast Guard Auxiliary, has been seeking some volunteers to go down there and help. I'm sure with, like, the administrative end as far as getting, like you mentioned, the wristbands, probably doing that and different things. But
Yeah. A lot of the help that's down there is private contracted help. It's everything that they can do through private contractors and or people who will volunteer, is that means more border agents can be on the border like they're supposed to be. Okay. Right. But I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons why we put the VA in there was our border agents. You saw an uptick in suicides, mass depression, because I'm a firefighter, and I know a lot of my friends are firefighters and police officers, and they see really, really bad things. You see a lot of bad things over and over and over and over again. It weighs a toll on your body, and that's exactly what's happening with our border agents, and that's why the VA being involved is so important.
Exactly. It's like, like I said, I appreciate your trip down there because, I mean, that you see that firsthand, what's going on. You listen to the ones who are saying everything's fine. We know that's not true.
That's not true. And let me tell you something else our border agents are facing. One of the things they brought up to me at the roundtable And I'm telling you, this is every rank and officer, because, you know, it's like anything else. You've got guys that have been there 30 years and they're the higher ranking person, the new guys and everything like that. We don't realize that, you know, this is a fairly small community in comparison to what they're dealing with. And what they said is they said, we weren't work. And many of them are either single parents, or it's a husband and wife, and both of them work for the border agency. And they can get daycare for their children on the day shift, but there's not enough daycare whenever they do the other two shifts to cover and take care of their children. And they said the most depressing factor is you're seeing the illegals that are coming across that we're processing. We're providing them daycare for their children, but we can't get daycare for ours. And we want it paid for. It's just we can't get it because there's nobody, you know, I mean, it's just not available to them.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Congressman, we got a break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick. We'll come back.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. We'll be back here in a moment. Talk more with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. Talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. Congressman, you're talking about your trip down to the border, and obviously that's one of the things definitely that is a big issue right now. Another thing, and this has been in the news quite a bit lately, is an issue that comes from, I guess, all this the transgender stuff and that. You actually stood up and supported the women in sports.
That's correct. That's correct. The women in sports bill, basically, Jeff, who would have ever thought we would have had to do this in life?
Yeah.
You know, remember the big argument years ago when we were in school was when they first started pushing what's known as Title IX, mm-hmm. which basically said that women should have the opportunity to compete in their own competitive sports as much as males do in their competitive sports. Because at that time, you know, there was men's basketball, there's very little, unless you know, they had a special program, there wasn't women's basketball, the list goes on and on. So Title IX brought around the fact that it encourages women to be involved in the sports, and the athletes, they start work their whole lives to get scholarships to then compete at the level as far as collegiate is concerned, which then end up can springboard them in the Olympics or all of these great things. And we've got great athletes out of it, great female athletes that are just amazing people that have worked their whole life. Well, I'm going to tell you, what happens now is with this new woke craziness, someone can be transgender or being trans, moving over through transgender from male to female, which is the same as if a female would dope and get her hormones up or take enhancement drugs. This is the same type thing if they're going through this transgender. So it makes no sense to put them at this risk of not being able to compete fairly.
Which
so,
you just mentioned that, whoever, you know, if they did that, then they would be disqualified for doping.
For doping. That's right. That's right. So instead, they're having to compete because no one wants to be politically incorrect. Well, I'm willing to be politically incorrect, and here's how. If it's got to be politically correct for me to allow my daughter, my granddaughter, you know, I've got two daughters, I've got seven granddaughters. They should have the right to compete against someone who's in their own gender. That's complete competition, not this craziness. So what this bill says is if you accept Title IX money, that's almost all high schools and definitely all universities. If you all of a sudden decide you're going to put transgender males going to female into competition with whether it's track or whether it's basketball or whether it's swimming or whatever, then you lose your Title IX funds. You lose your Title IX funds. And I tell you what really bothers me the most about this, Jeff, is first off that the Democrats did not join us in this because this is pretty simple stuff, okay? And many of these Democrats claim that they were all for women's rights. Well, what you're doing is you're tearing into women's rights for the transgender rights when they shouldn't have those rights. And you know what? If you want to create a certain new competition in your school for just transgenders, if there's that many of them, then do it. That's fine. But don't go in and have them compete unfairly against the women who have spent their lives trying to build their careers in the sport of their choice. So it was, like I said, it was amazing to me that it went pretty well party lines, because I don't know how many of my Democrat friends on the other side of the aisle, whether in the state house or in D.C., spend all their time saying how much they're for women's rights and everything like that, but yet they'll throw them under the bus for something like this, when this seems like just common sense to me. Anyway, it passed. It goes to the Senate. We hope the Senate will pick it up. We hope the president will sign it. Now, I really believe that by the time it's said and done, I think the Senate may take it up, but even if we pass it, the president will veto it. But he's made those threats before. We've been able to get around them, so we'll see what happens.
Right. Another issue, and I run into this a lot, when you're ordering stuff online, which we do a lot now. Used to, you had to send a letter to order stuff, but you order it and right. It looks legit, like it's coming, you know, right away. And then I find it takes weeks and weeks for it to get there. When it gets there, I find out it came from China. You know, I mean, it was right. Purported to look like it came from a U.S., you know, location, but right. It ultimately ends up coming from China.
Which is exactly why I've carried the bill that I'm carrying, which basically the Freedom and Trade or the Fairness in Trade Act, you know, whether we have it. You know, we knew it was going on. If you remember early on in the my time as a member of Congress, when we were able to get the jobs back to Granite City because of illegal dumping. Well, the same thing happens across the board with products. And basically, they have certain trade laws that they're supposed to follow. But the thing is, they calculate the cost against a trade law and whether or not they want to follow it or not, and then they do it illegally. And then what they do is they break our market so that we can't actually produce things here onshore instead of having to wait on an import from China. So what my bill does, remember, the bill itself, or any law like that with trade, you've got to have teeth in the law. Well, the trade laws have teeth, but basically what I'm doing is I'm increasing the length of the fangs. We're doubling the fines, and it also not only doubles the fines, if they get caught cheating on any of these products, those products cannot be traded and brought to the United States for 5 years. So from that country. So it's really a smacking down on trying to the bigger picture of the price of it is with trying to deal with China, and whether it's in trade or whether it's in what it does to our economy or what it does to or the danger that they are as a threat to a military threat, or what they're in a threat of purchasing property in this United States. But this is one of those areas where we can focus on, use the existing laws under the Trade Promotion Authority and also during the World Trade Organization to make it tougher for China to cheat and hopefully take them out of trying to knock our businesses completely out just by abusing the system.
Right. Like I said, it's hard. Hard to find, you know, especially like some of your online shopping places. It's hard to find stuff that's not coming from China, and you have to really look hard.
I know, right? And that's just because they use cheap labor. They create a product so cheap that it puts the businesses in the United States that could provide it for you out of business. And then once it does, then they've got a monopoly. See,
mm-hmm.
So this is what we'll try to stop that.
Right. Anything else you wanted to throw in there? We got a few minutes left.
Sure. Let me tell you right now, you're going to hear a lot this week about the debt limit stuff, and you've been hearing that a lot about that anyway. President Biden's been out there trying to scare the American people at the debt limit, but the truth is he's been missing from action as far as trying to come together to negotiating tables. According to the administration, known estimates, you know, we're looking at June or July when the debt ceiling runs out. But Biden has no plan. We've asked him to give us a plan, everything like that. So the House Republicans proposed a plan to return spending at 2022 levels and cap spending increases at 1% each year. What that'll do is that'll flatten the curve on the control spending and dealing with our $31 trillion debt. But the response of the Democrats has just been more scare tactics, even to the point, and I want to say this, as chairman of Veterans Affairs, I've heard from the left complaining that we plan to cut veterans' benefits. We are not, let me say this again, we are not cutting veterans' benefits. We are also not cutting Social Security, and we're not cutting Medicare. But we are doing some wise things to try to rein in and stop the out-of-control spending. One thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be using our ability to try to claw back the unspent COVID dollars from the last COVID bill. You know, the VA has a tremendous amount of those. Even so, they heard rumors of this the other day, and we've actually caught sight of the fact that they spent as much as $600 million in one day, which is just, you know, a veteran will look at that and go, well, don't waste my money. Don't waste, that's my taxpayer dollar. You know, don't do that. But yet it's that whole game of if we don't spend it, they'll take it away. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to take it away because COVID money was put in there for a specific reason. It's not just the VA. It's every agency across the board. We need to claw that back. That's trillions of dollars that we can claw back. We can flatten the curve. We need to reduce our spending. We need to be wise. And that way we don't have to do this increase in debt limit all the time because – We've got to pay our debt. You and I have talked about this on this program about how we have to pay the debt. So we have to do that. But if you don't just give them another credit card and say, here, go spend that one. That's not what we got to do. We got to change our spending habits. And that's what we're trying to do and what we'll be doing on this next week.
Okay. So, I know I keep hearing a lot of talk about the debt limit. I heard actually that the Speaker of the House has actually – talked to the president and said, you know, I'm willing to talk, but the president's ignoring him.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Because here's why. When it actually happens and there's not a plan out there, then the Democrats in the Senate, under the direction of the president, can send us a bill and do what we call a jamming, because we've got to make a decision or the government shutdown occurs. What we're proposing is we're sending things to the table right now. And that's what we're hoping to do, because once we send it over and they say, well, you've got to take our plan, we can simply go, no, you've got your plan over there. We've got our plan over there. Now, what you can do is you and the president come and sit at the table with us. You don't have to have all of our plan, but this is what we've got to do, and this is why we've got to stop spending. We're not giving you a blank check. That ain't happening. And the idea and hope is the American people understand that that's what we're doing. We're trying to negotiate in good faith, and we're really trying to get our spending under control, because if we don't, all this fighting against China, even if you go to war, you won't have to go to war because they won't even fire a single shot. They'll own us. We got to get this straightened out.
Right. Yeah. You look at the reaction from the White House whenever they say that, you know, we're willing to talk. You know, not compromise on our principles, but, you know, we're willing to talk about it, see if we can work something out. It's just kind of like he folds his arm and says, no, I'm not going to do it.
No, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, and that's very childish, and that's not how we run our nation.
Exactly. All right. Congressman Mike Bost, you're on The People Speak this morning. That'll wrap things up. I'm Jeff. We will talk to you next time. Have a great day.